ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Going to read this morning from Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 26. Even if you don't know what the Sanskrit means, it sounds nice. This is called Alankar, which means literary ornaments. There's alliteration, repetition of the same consonant, and same ending, Sarvani, Charani, Bhutani, Dhruvani. It's very nice. Just embellishment. Sarvani Dishyantaya Bhavadbhis. Charani Bhutani Sutta. Ta Dhruvani Sambhavitavyani Pade Padevo Evicta Drigbis Tad Buharhanam Me Sarvani Madish Nyataya Pavadish Charani Bhutani Sutta Dhruvani Sambhavayatyani Pade Padevo Evicta Drigbis Tad Uharhanam Me Sarvani Madhishnyataya Bhavadish Sarvani Bhutani Sutta Dhruvani
Sarvani Bhutani Pade Padevo
Madhishnataya Bhavadbhis
Sarvani Madhishnataya Bhavadbhis
Sarvani Bhutani Sutta Dhruvani
Sarvani Bhutani Sutta Dhruvani
Sambhavitavyani Pade Padevyo
Sambhavitavyani Pade Padevyo
Vidikta Drigbis Tad Uharaname
Vidikta Drigbis Tad Uharaname
Ladies?
Sarvani Madhishnataya Bhavadbhis
Sarvani Madhishnataya Bhavadbhis
Sarvani Bhutani Sutta Dhruvani
Sarvani Bhutani Sutta Dhruvani
Bhavitava Sambhavita Jnani Pade Padevo
Sambhavita Jnani Pade Padevo
Sarvani,
Sarvani,
all,
Madhishnataya,
Madhishnataya, because of being my sitting place,
because of being my sitting place,
Bhavadbhis, By you.
By you.
Charani.
Charani.
That move. Bhutani.
Bhutani.
Living entities.
Sutaha.
My dear sons.
Dhruvani.
Those that do not move. Sambhavatavyani. To be respected. Pade pade. At every moment. Vaha. By you. Vivikta drigbhi. Possessing clear vision and understanding. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his Paramatma feature, is situated everywhere. Tatpu,
that indirectly.
Certainly.
Arhanam,
offering respect. May. Unto me. Translation. My dear sons, this is Rishabhdev instructing his 100 sons. Canto 5, chapter 5. My dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or not moving. Know that I am situated in them. You should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word vivikta drigbhihi, meaning without envy, is used. All living entities are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature, as confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Andantarastam paramanuchayantarastam. The Lord is situated in this universe as Garbhadakshayi Vishnu and Shiradakshayi Vishnu. He is also situated within every atom. According to the Vedic statement, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. The Supreme Lord is situated everywhere. And wherever he is situated is his temple. We even offer respects to a temple from a distant place. And all living entities should similarly be offered respect. This is different from the theory of pantheism, which holds that everything is God. Everything has a relationship with God. Because God is situated everywhere, we should not make any particular distinction between the poor and the rich, like the foolish worshippers of Daridra Narayana. Narayana is present in the rich as well as the poor. One should not simply think Narayana is situated among the poor. He is everywhere. An advanced devotee will offer respect to everyone, even to cats and dogs, although we keep the door closed. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavi hastani shuni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshanaha. Translation. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast, Bhagavad Gita 5:18. This is samadarshanaha, equal vision. This samadarshana, equal vision, should not be mistaken to mean that the individual is the same as the Supreme Lord, they are always distinct. Every individual person is different from the Supreme Lord. It is a mistake to equate the individual living being with the Supreme Lord on the plea of vivikta drik or sama drik. The Lord is always in an exalted position, even though he agrees to live everywhere. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting Padma Purana, states, vivikta drishti jivanam dishnyataya parameshvarasya veda drishtihi. Translation, one who has clear vision and who is devoid of envy can see that the Supreme Lord is separate from all living entities, even though he is situated in every living entity. Unquote. Madhvacharya further quotes from Padma Purana, upapadyeta paratmanam jivebhyo ya pade pade bede naiva na chaitasmat priyo vishnos tu kashchana. Almost done with the purport. One who sees the living entity and the Supreme Lord as always distinct, as Madhvacharya does, is very dear to the Lord. Final. Padaprana also states, yo haresh chaiva jivanam bedha vakta hare priyaha. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord, as Madhvacharya did, is very dear to Lord Vishnu. End of purport. We'll go back to the verse. Sarvani mad dish nyataya bhavadvish charani bhutani sutta dhruvani sambhava sambhavitavyani pade pade bo vivikta drikvis tad uharhanam me. My dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I am situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. So our theme for this retreat is expanding the network of loving relationships and this verse right on the mark. Because what to speak of loving relationships, how can you even have a relationship without respect? There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that uses these two words, ottam and protam, which Prabhupada translates as the warp and the weave. So, like, you know, here's some cloth, or here's some cloth. And what a cloth is threads that go this way and this way. That's all it is. Little thread, this way, and you get a cloth. So, the fabric or cloth has elements that make it up, otam and protam. That verse is used to say, using that comparison, otam, protam, the warp and the weave, that's the fabric of creation. The Lord, and the verse says, the Lord is both. He's the thread and the thread, because the thread comes from someplace, whether it's cotton thread or silk thread or whatever it is, thread. that comes from someplace, and he's the place. He's the ultimate source of everything. So, respect, I have commonly used this expression, and I'll use it again today. Respect is the fabric of relationships. Without converse, without respect, you don't have a relationship. Without the thread going this way and the thread going that way, you don't have a relationship. The mutual respect. And supposing, so what's the basis of that respect? The basis of that respect is being taught by Rishabdev to his sons. Respect goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Commonly we use this word respect. A common usage of it is respect your elders. Or children should respect their parents. And that's universal. I mean, it's religious, it's cultural, it's respect should go to, it's someone's up here. And I look at myself as down here. So up, so. Amanina. Manadena. Offering respect to all others without any expectation of respect in return. That's the harder part. Because when we offer respect, what's the program? I'm expecting something. And if I don't get something, see you later. There's no relationship. Because that's our expectation. But the spiritual teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and implicit within this teaching of Rishabdev, is respect goes to, ultimately it goes to Krishna. It goes to, in this case, it's Rishabdev is an incarnation of the Personality of Godhead. He's a particular category of incarnation, but he's a form of the Lord that has appeared in this world. And he's speaking to his sons from that position. Imagine having God as your father. But he is the Supreme Father. Aham Bija Pratak Pita. He's the Supreme Father. So whether it's Krishna speaking in Bhagavad Gita or Rishabdev speaking, respect, if you want to respect me, Rishabdev is saying, then you respect all living entities because I'm situated within them. Andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam, confirmed in Sri Brahma Samhita. Thought I would spend a little bit of time with that verse. It's a very nice verse. It begins with Eka. Eko pyaso rachayatam jagadanda kotim. Jagadanda kotim. Jagadanda is it's plural, the universes. So Eko api. Although I am one, this is Brahma speaking about the Personality of God, and although he is one, this is the otam protam. From him, so many universes are coming. Kotim. Millions. You can't count how many millions. Unlimited numbers of millions of universes are coming from him. And by his potency, he enters within. Yashchakti asti jagadanda chaya yad antaha. He enters yad antaha. He enters within those universes. That's Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Mahavishnu expands the universes. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu enters within the universes. And within all the atoms of the universes, he enters as Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Andantarasta Paramanuchayantarastam. Those otam protam, the warp and the weave, the fabric of creation, is everywhere. And he enters within that everywhere. And this isn't pantheism. Prabhupada is making that clear. It's not that we say nature is God, although certainly nature is very, very fascinating, beautiful, powerful, but that exhibition of beauty and power and everything that creation represents, it's maintained and supported by but a spark, a portion of an expansion of the personality of Godhead. That's Paramatma. He's the basis and support of the whole of the creation. And there is this relationship of non-difference between the creator and the created. So for that reason, we respect nature, but it's not just because it's from him. He's situated within every atom of the creation. All the more reason why we should respect the creation. But then comparing the creation to the living entities that are within the creation, the living entities are superior. Prakriti, para prakriti in the language of Bhagavad Gita. They're conscious. There is unconscious and conscious. Apara and para prakriti. And within those souls, the para prakriti, the personality of Godhead is situated. Rishabh Dev is saying, I'm situated there. Eko priyaso rachayatam. So although he's one, the Supreme Person, he's everywhere. And sarvani mad dish nataya vavadis. Dishnataya means the sitting place. So the Paramatma is within the heart of all living entities. The heart of the living entity is the sitting place of the Supreme Lord, saying it backwards, forwards. Krishna is within. The kingdom of God is within. The Bible teaches like that. Because of that, we respect. But what's the prevention for respecting? Why do persons not have respect for one another? The clue is presented within the verse. Because they have envy of those other living entities. And they have envy of those other living entities because there's envy of the personality of Godhead. That's why we're here. Say it in reverse. If we didn't have envy, we wouldn't be here. Prabhupada once described like this. In Vedic culture, the king would have a flag and all the soldiers of the king would have the same flag. And that culture spilled over to Europe. Richard the Lionhearted. So there's, you know, his flag is a lion flapping on his, whatever it is, whether it was a chariot or his tank or whatever. There's the flag. And then, you know, this flag, that flag. So then there's different flag because there are different camps, different loyalties. But if there's loyalty to the personality of Godhead, then that's the flag. Krishna. But one who has a material body, Prabhupada explained, it's like a flag flapping that says, I've got envy of the personality of Godhead. He didn't say it quite like that, but that's what it means. And we're very proud of it. Using Prabhupada's expression, we soap it very nicely, We decorate it very nicely. I'm envious of the personality of Godhead, and we're proud of it. We're proud of this flag. So the reality is, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to the soul. It's an embarrassment not just because it gives us problems, it's an embarrassment because of our envy towards the personality of Godhead. So in this third line down, sambhava tavyani means to be respected. So as the Lord is to be respected, the living entities are to be respected because they're the sitting place of the Lord. But what prevents us from respecting the Supreme Lord and in turn prevents us from respecting other living entities or having a loving relationship with other living entities? That's this vivikta-drik. That means without envy, but it's due to envy. It's why we have, you know, this flag, this body. So we're seeing in terms of the body. We're not seeing in terms of the soul within the body. We're seeing the coverings of the soul, and we identify with the coverings of the soul, and we become very expert, very practiced, at least, at finding the shortcomings of the flag, subtle and gross, and say, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, but look at that. And the mind is filled with that, with the identification with the body. So how can you have a loving relationship with the body? That's what people try to do in this world. I love him, I love her, she loves me, and it goes on. Without, in the name of love, there's attraction for sense gratification on the platform of the body, and that's under the name of love. But that's not what love is. And it's a material world, as long as we have one of these flags. The tendency is to think like that. And even if we have some knowledge that says, no, I'm spirit soul, we still behave like that. So, why? Because there's envy of the personality of Godhead. And to go beyond envy of the personality of Godhead, if you can recall from the discussion yesterday evening, you'll see some consistency in these presentations. This cheto darpana marjanam, that cleansing of the consciousness, it goes down to the potency of the holy name is such that the consciousness becomes cleansed of that very contamination of envy, and with it, its corollaries. Anger, greed, lust, pride, illusion, and all the other yucky stuff that clouds our consciousness. So there's the teaching of the Srimad Bhagavatam that gives us direction. Here's a very nice little example, Prabhupada's example. A train proceeds on two tracks, and they're parallel tracks. If you don't have two tracks, now they have monorails, but if you don't have two tracks, the conventional trains, then the train won't proceed. It's going to capsize. So two tracks, similarly, for spiritual life, require something that will cleanse the heart and something that will give direction to life. And you need both. Something that cleanses the heart but doesn't have proper direction, it can easily be sentiment, and sentiment can easily move into fanaticism. We find plenty of both in this world. Fanaticism, unguided fanaticism. And then the other side is some direction without a pure heart leads to speculation, all kinds of speculation. Bad kind, good kind, in between kind, hilarious kind, awful kind. It's all kinds of speculation. So both are required, and that's the equipment that Prabhupada gave us, that which cleanses the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam, the chanting of the holy name, and the direction, spiritual direction. He speaks of, in the second, Prabhupada speaks of, in the second canto, intelligence is the form direction of the Supreme Lord. It's a nice expression. Form direction of the Supreme Lord. How to move toward Krishna. The dhammi buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. Intelligence, how to reach Krishna. But supposing I have envy toward Krishna. Krishna can holler it at us and we're not going to hear it. We hear something else. It'll bounce and go somewhere else and speculate something. It won't go in. As long as there's envy. So similarly, we can speak about loving relationships, but with, as long as that the heart is not pure, there's not proper direction how to guide that purified heart, we'll not have loving relationships. And we want loving relationships. There's not an exception. Everyone. And in various ways and expressions of that, persons feel, I have so much love to give. But where do I find that repose of that love? And everyone's thinking that way. What's going on here? And feeling frustrated and lonely and stuff like that. And that's, you know, the suffering condition in this world. Because there's envy of the personality of Godhead. And we can't see the person for who they really are. And the persons can't see themselves for who they really are. And how are you going to have a loving relationship in that circumstance? The answer is you aren't. So if, since our theme is loving relationships, then see properly. Here's the Bhagavatam, here's Rishabdev giving us the form direction of the Lord. How to see other living entities. And the word that he's using is respect. Where is that word? Yeah. Sambhavatavyani. And then he uses this other phrase, tad, in the last line, vivikta-drik tad-u. Means, he's translated here as indirectly. Indirectly. By offering respect to the living entity, we're offering respect to Krishna. Here's a little training that I received in my early training in Krishna consciousness. Those things that we learned in our early stage of Krishna consciousness, reflecting back, they're very valuable because Prabhupada directly gave them and there was a reason for it. So, in some places I see that the devotees do this and it's very nice. That is, when you see another devotee, the first thing in the morning, you offer obeisances. And offering obeisances, you're offering respect to the super soul that's within the heart of that living entity. In one sense, you're offering respect to the personality of Godhead because he's in the heart. But you're not just the super soul and forget that the person, because they're carrying the personality of Godhead within their heart. And you're respecting the person. Because indirectly, They're the representative of Krishna. Now, that respect goes, as Prabhupada is saying, to all living entities, the trees, the cats and dogs. So, you know, we see the cats outside, the kids may go pay obeisances to the cats. That little horse that's always roaming around, making like he's the king of Gitanagari. He was rolling on the ground when I went through before. His arms, legs up in the air, scratching his back or something. I waited, and he just looked at me and kept doing it. Beeped the horn. He stood up and stood purposefully right in the middle of the road. I'm the king of Gitanagari. I slowly drove around him, circumambulated the king. I'm offering you respect. So we offer respect to, especially we offer respect to devotees of the Lord. Because amongst all of those living entities that have Krishna within their heart, there are those devotees of the Lord who are recognizing or trying to recognize, they're on the path of turning their attention again to the personality of Godhead. At least there's this light, this spark, this inclination to turn their attention to the personality of Godhead. So special respect goes to those persons, just as Rupa Goswami writes in Nectar of Instruction. Maybe some of you have studied Nectar of Instruction with Bhakti Shastri. He speaks of that specifically, that one should offer respect to one who is chanting the holy name of the Lord. That's pretty much everybody here. Maybe there's some exceptions, I don't know, but that's Rupa Goswami's instruction. So Rishabhdev is, this instruction of Rishabhdev is on the Uttama Adhikari platform. And one who is on the Uttama Adhikari platform, he sees like that. Not just a pandit, pandita samadarshana. That translation that Prabhupada made of the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita verse, pandita samadarshana. On the strength of knowledge, vidya vinaya sampani, the humble sage by virtue of true knowledge. So it's at least seeing through the lens of knowledge. That's a good beginning. But if it's just through the lens of knowledge and it stops there, that is to say, the heart does not become pure. And it becomes something of a mental adjustment. For one moment we're looking through the lens of knowledge, the next moment we're angry or lusty or proud or something, because the heart's not pure. So it's a good beginning, but it's not complete. What's complete is the heart needs to become pure. And when the heart becomes pure, then we can have loving relationships. So what are we supposed to do until our heart's pure? Just kind of twiddle our thumbs and stay out of trouble and kind of hide out somewhere until we get pure. We have to act? No. We have to act on the instructions of our acharyas. We receive their teaching, Rishabhdev's teaching, offer respect. How do you do that when you have envy in your heart? How do you offer respect? Like, you can have a behavior, you can pay obeisances and say Hari Bol Prabhu and stuff like that, but still have a heart that's got some contamination. At least the behavior is one thing, but the essence is under the instruction of, or submissive to, the Bhagavatam and Rupa Goswami and our great acharyas that are teaching us, submissive to them, we do. So that the operative principle here is not just the behavior, but the expression of devotion, submission unto them for their pleasure. And as that operative principle is exercised, that bhakti principle is exercised, it's like physical therapy, something that kind of is not, is very weak. But just a little bit, and a little bit, and just the bhakti principle becomes stronger. And that enables us to do our chanting better and enter into loving relationships better. Try to enter into the spirit of the message, offering respect. The higher is all living entities and the devotees of the Lord. And we express that respect from the heart in the form of service. Aside from having envy in the heart, when there's envy in the heart, we don't see Krishna. We see Maya. We see the covering of the soul. We see the imperfections of the covering of the soul. We were, before all of you got here, we were having some, reading some sections from Prabhupada's teachings, and he was saying like this to the devotees. Every being has some imperfection. We have our imperfection, others have their imperfection. So, if you focus on the imperfection, it's, he didn't use this particular phrase, but it's like seeing the moon, and you look at the moon, and you say, oh, look at those pockmarks on the moon. Instead of seeing the cooling, soothing rays of the moon, and the benefit that the moon is offering, oh, look at the pockmarks on the moon. Fault-finding propensity, rather than the essence propensity. If we become situated in essence propensity, following the instructions given, cleansing the heart and trying to see according to and follow the instructions given by our great acharyas in the scripture, that essence propensity will then take away the fault-finding propensity or the material covering, the maya propensity, and we become better agents to enter into loving relationships and be an agent of Krishna, an instrument of Krishna to transform the unwanted condition of the world that we don't like. And we don't have to like. But we can see, if we can see the presence of Krishna out of our own heart's inclination to be in a relationship with Krishna, then we can be Krishna's instrument, however he wants to engage us as his instrument. However he wants to purify us as our, in our submission unto Krishna. I remember when one of our Gita Nagari retreats, the theme of it was Say Yes to Krishna. Some of you may remember. So recently I saw that Say Yes to Krishna button. We gave one to everybody. Big one. Say Yes to Krishna. It was nice while it lasted. But then to stay in that consciousness, the Say Yes to Krishna consciousness, it requires a change of heart. Letting go of the other propensity and taking our natural innate propensity. So these instructions of how to respect other living beings, it's very basic. It's very important. And it will enable us to enter into loving relationships. It's a beginning, respecting other living entities. Especially respecting devotees. Respecting the bhakti that they're carrying in their heart. Because that bhakti principle that they're carrying in their heart, as with me, so with them, that bhakti principle can transform everything. Let me fan that spark of, or the flame. Let me honor the bhakti principle that's in their heart. Let it grow and grow and grow. By the wind, by the favorable breeze of hearing and chanting, and remembering Krishna, and sharing that exchange with others. This is the basis of our loving relationships. We hear so many more things said in the course of this weekend on this point. I'll end there and see if there's any comments or discussion. This is usually the best part, the discussion part. I'm going to turn the microphone on. Anyone? Go ahead.
I wasn't clear on the fault-finding tendency.
You're not?
I understand that I have that, but how do we get over that with the inclination to...
Two things. Recognize that it's there and don't act on it, and look at the essence, the glorious reality that here's a Krishna is in the heart of this person, and this person is trying to turn their attention to Krishna. You look at the bhakti that they're carrying in their heart. You look beyond the shortcoming, the covering of the soul, and see the soul. And bring your attention there. And then in that mood of respect, then you look at yourself and say, who am I? Constitutionally, I'm Krishna's servant. So how can I be in service to this spirit soul? And just keep practicing it. Have you gone for a walk in the Dham here in Gitanagari? My mind is going to a japa retreat. The first japa retreat that I attended was somewhere in the Baltimore, Washington area that Purusha Sukta arranged. So on our 64 round day, I went, after, you know, sitting down for a long time, I wanted to go for a walk. I went for a walk, and there was, there are little paths in the forest. And I was curious about why is there a path in the forest? Well, obviously people walked up and down and up and down. So there's so many other places people could walk up and down and up and down, but they didn't. So if you started walking up and down some place in the forest, just keep, and you've got a path. And then it becomes easy to traverse the path. It just becomes like second nature. Just go down the path. So I did like that. Just, you know, chanting the holy name, thinking, let me go down the path of bringing my mind to Krishna instead of the other. Let me make a new path. And as I was walking, this is just anecdotal, but I saw this, wow, I saw this amazing turtle. This guy was really colorful. The back of his shell was, you know, a masterpiece. And he was just sitting there, being a turtle. I said, wow. And then over there were some deer. And they were, you know, what deer do? They were looking at me, and I was looking at them. And this is a nice path. You know, Krishna's amazing. So, just continue to move along that path. And let the impetus, the propellant, be the instruction and the relationship with the instructor, Krishna, here Rishabhdev, and those that are representing Krishna, Rishabhdev, and, you know, in acting in that relationship, you just move along that path instead of the other one. Say yes to Krishna. Say no to Maya. Maya's, you know, doesn't want to let go. Maya's got a tight grip. Maya keeps saying, hey, pay attention to me. And we're used to it. So we say, yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am, I'll pay attention to you. I don't want to be on the wrong side of Maya. I get slapped around. It won't be any fun. So, you know, little Maya, little Krishna. Doesn't work that way. Say yes to Krishna. Consistently. Just keep practicing. Someone else. Jai Jagannath had his hand up.
Maharaj, I was thinking about that verse from Bhagavad Gita, as you were describing, you know, now, saying like Bhakti within the devotee. I was thinking of the verse, Akinches Hadaracharo Bhattase Mama Nani Pa. And I was meditating that to see the Sudaraksha part is easier with material eyes.
Yeah.
But to see the Ananya Bhak part is not possible with material eyes.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking on the positive side, when we are evaluating devotees, the tendency is to appreciate secondary things like let's say, mentioned they're very humble, or they're very...
Well, they decorate the deity very nicely, they sing very nicely, they cook fantastic.
Or even in terms of some of the qualities, some certain qualities, but we're not able to see the main quality of Srinivasa Krishna, which may or may not be there. Somebody in the mode of goodness can also have very good qualities but not be Srinivasa Krishna.
Okay, well, just on this last point, I would disagree. At least the Bhagavatam disagrees.
Definitely, they have no requisite platform, but they may seem to exhibit certain qualities that a devotee may not always seem to exhibit, and especially as neophyte stated.
Well, part of the disappointment of now you see it, now you don't qualities is, oh, and then, oh. And I become disappointed because I had this, you know, image, this expectation. But even the good qualities, that comes at least from in the past, something that you can't see. Some piety. And it's the piety is not just a behavior, it's a quality. From that quality, other qualities come. But it's now you see it, now you don't, unless it has some durability that on the foundation of Ananya Bhak, undivided devotion to Krishna. Nice. So, someone else. Paramrupa. What?
This is actually coming from yesterday's class. You mentioned about how the light of transcendental knowledge has the potency of removing even the residual tendencies of acting on fruitive plane. But we also hear from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Ajaman section, where that the knowledge doesn't have that potency to remove the tendency, but
there's two different kinds of knowledge.
So one is speculative and this is real.
Yes. The Dhammi Bodhi Yogam Tham, that kind. Yena Mamo Piyantite, that's different. Then I read something somewhere and I said, yes, that makes sense to me. That kind of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yes, I considered it very carefully. Because I've read many writings on this point, and my real identity is spirit soul. And I behave otherwise. Because it's not born of the other kind, where it's undeviatingly coming from Krishna, how to reach Krishna. The realized knowledge, transcendental intelligence, that comes from Krishna and awarded by Krishna directly. Different kind.
So that is not different from bhakti, essentially.
That's right. Bodhi yoga and bhakti yoga. They're different ways of saying the same thing or aspects of the same thing. Without bhakti, you don't get bodhi. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, there are certain circumstances sometimes where we want to serve Krishna nicely, and then there is this desire that we should please Krishna.
But then sometimes
it just doesn't happen. So there is this understanding that although we have our own plan, but Krishna has this plan.
No, that's not what it means. We are, you know, we switch to another channel besides the Krishna channel. Unsteady. Chanchala. And that's the feature of the mana. Right? So, a little bit like this. I've considered carefully. I've read, I've heard. I'm inspired. I want to serve Krishna nicely. And I'm doing something else. You know, it can happen very quickly. I'm doing something else. Because of like this residual tendency. It's just, you know, I'm accustomed to doing something else. Selfishness. You know, what's in it for me consciousness. And that obscures the picture that you previously had. The cloud comes and the sun is blocked. Darkness instead of light. Maya instead of Krishna. We're saying no to Krishna and saying yes to Maya. Just, you know, very quickly. Just quick turn. So that's why and then what to do. Immediately bring the mind back to Krishna. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, however many times it goes there, bring it back. Under the control of the capital S self, because you can't do it on your own. You're depending on Krishna for that strength. Keep doing it. Like this, you know, practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Alright? Yeah, you've got the microphone. Go right ahead.
Maharaj, I was thinking about a particular instance, if it's okay.
About a particular incident?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
here's some public disclosure.
Maharaj, it so happened that finally we were trying to do Abhishek at home.
Okay.
And dress the deities. So I had this anticipation from 2 weeks back with Narasimha Chakravarti.
Okay.
So we should make nice garlands for the deities and we should have a nice dress.
Beautiful.
And, but then, just I think on the same day, I was not able to sleep also in anticipation of the
work. Wow. Wow.
But in the morning, I was thinking that when I woke up, I just saw that I cannot do the service because I was not clean. So I was just thinking that although I had this nice intention that I should do service for Krishna, but it didn't happen, so...
Okay, well that's not the mind. That's the body. And so?
So I was just thinking that how can we see every circumstance in our life that...
Start with the spirit of say yes to Krishna. So you were circumstantially unable to offer that service. Did Krishna accept the bhakti as Jai Jagannath was saying, you could have seen the behavior, but you can't see the bhakti. Did Krishna accept the bhakti with which you were very enthusiastically planning to do this nice service for him? Yes. Physically not able. But so if you're physically able, then you do it. If you're not physically able, you can't do. But Krishna accepts the bhakti. So you surrender to Krishna. Krishna, I had my plan. This is where you're saying, I had my plan. Okay. So whether it's mental or physical, we may have our plan. Commonly it's, the mind goes somewhere else. And Krishna, the picture becomes a different one. But if it's some other thing, some calamity comes, or something, health something, or something. I may not be able to attend. But there's some other service you can do, and you do that other service. And Krishna, please accept the spirit of the offering. All right? Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Krishna. Someone else over on the lady's side had their hand up? Okay. Well.
I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about the relationship between trust and respect.
Between what and respect? Is this guy...
Trust.
Trust and respect, okay.
Because sometimes you have upper respect to others but it's just like...
But what?
The
respect is betrayed, or the trust is betrayed?
Rejected, or stabbed.
No problem.
Continue to offer.
No problem. Because who is to be pleased by this offering of respect? You, the other person, or Krishna? No problem. We had this discussion yesterday, the disconnect. Hello? No response. Hello? Or, those other things that we were discussing. There's no, on the negative side, there's no loss on the positive side. It's Krishna that's meant to be pleased. So if someone's, if the mood of someone is, you knock on their door, and there's not only no answer, but they answer back, nobody's home. Okay, I'll come back when somebody's home. And I'm thinking of some third party that you and I both know, and they were saying, leave me alone. Without naming the name that I think you can think of the person, and just leave me alone. Okay, we'll leave you alone. And now it's, help. Okay, we'll respect. Even if the message is leave me alone or help. Because the respect goes to not the circumstance, but the soul within. This wonderful soul. No problem. And who is pleased? Not me or you. Krishna is pleased. To the degree that Krishna is pleased, then there's satisfaction, whether it's whatever it is. Because it's transcendentally the right thing to do, to offer respect to that wonderful soul. And they say, leave me alone. Okay. Leave me alone. And we're right outside the door. So when they say help, we're okay. We're right there. And Krishna is to be pleased. Okay. I see your hand, Atmani Vedana, but I see some ladies also with you.
Hare Krishna. I don't know if this is a
know if I can express this completely as a question, but you were speaking in the beginning about respect being the fabric of relationships, and without respect, there's no relationship.
Yes.
And on the other hand, we're instructed not to expect any respect for ourselves. It seems that that has an impact on the dynamic of relationships, that there's some natural level of expectation for respect that if it's absent.
Well, it's natural. I was thinking about this before coming down here for the class. It's natural from the human side because we're embodied souls. But from the soul side, it's not at all necessary. Because there's the relationship with Krishna. And when that relationship with Krishna is connected with, I'm fully satisfied. I don't need. Although as human, you know, well, wait a minute. Hello? It's human. Well, okay. But will Krishna be pleased? In this world, go you know, a different direction. In this world, there's so much suffering. And it's absolutely, totally unnecessary. So much suffering. So now, if you're hearing what Rishabhdev is saying here, offer respect. Now, that person is suffering, and because they're suffering, there's all kinds of behaviors that are bad. And so on. So what do? You worry about the bad behavior, or you worry about the soul that's suffering? If you want to worry about the bad behavior, worry about the soul that's suffering. And you offer service to that soul out of respect for the soul. And you know, no response or bad behavior back and all kinds of things. Tatikshava karunika. That's the position of a sadhu. So, okay, I'm not a sadhu. I have some expectations. Okay, but that's, you know, that's, in that situation, that's my stuff. It's not, you know, the Krishna stuff. The Krishna stuff is no expectation. Amanina manadina. Okay, I'm not there yet. Okay, practice it. Cultivate it at least. Recognize at least that's the, then there's no expectation. When the satisfaction in one's relationship with Krishna is there, because I've cultivated the relationship with Krishna, it's there. There's no expectation. Even the humankind, even like, you know, it's normal kind. Nothing. It's not impersonalism. It's a loving relationship. That's up there, but that's our cultivation. That's our teaching we're to aspire for. Someone else? Behind you?
We've heard this message of common relationship many times from you. This retreat, and there was a retreat before, and even your last puja, I guess, was one time it was loving relationships. And you mentioned that this is a key aspect for ISKCON going into the future. So, this is one part of my. So, secondly, we see that devotees are, you know, we are so busy. So many things, you know, conducting festivals, cooking, cleaning, taking care of homes, some people go to jobs and book distribution and this.
Raising a child.
And it seems like sometimes in all this business, the loving relationship or the personalism goes out the window. And,
yes.
So, you know, all of the outreach and those things are important for more devotees. And
loving relationships are needed for happier devotees. There's, I don't know, in my mind there's like an occurrence like that.
So maybe you can be the emissary of loving relationships. And then those that are doing the lots of outreach, when they have some contact with you, they'll feel, wow, I need some more of this loving relationships. The teaching is both, not one versus the other. And if there's an imbalance, then make a balance. But the balance doesn't... Waiting for the next screen. There we go. The solution isn't do less, the solution is be more present. Like chanting. You can do more chanting, more mechanical chanting. And you're not necessarily present by more mechanical chanting. And the taste won't be there, it won't endure because there's not taste. But if there's a sincere effort to be, it starts with chanting. If we do our chanting very nicely, then the love, when we're interacting with devotees, the loving relationship is going to be there, and the outreach is also going to be there. The essence is in how we chant the holy name, and how well we hear the instruction that's coming from the scripture. So one way to promote loving relationships is chant together and discuss the scripture together. As the springboard for our, what we do when we do our outreach. If that's neglected, the fundamental is neglected, and if it's not done in a conscious, present, qualitative way, it's going to be, you know, even the attempt to have loving relationships is going to miss the mark. It'll become something else. Using Brajabihari's phrase, hold hands and sing kumbaya. Those of you from India don't know what that means. It's a Jewish expression. Peace, something like that. It won't result in loving relationships if just focus on loving relationships. The outreach isn't going to result in loving relationships either if we just do the outreach, and we bring people back to what? So what's the essence is how we, the qualitative way in which we engage in our hearing and chanting activity. Chant our japa, chant, do that in like what we're doing here. Together. So when you go back and you're sitting in little apartment in California, you'll be thinking, wow, that was really nice. Being able to chant in the Association of Devotees and hear and discuss in the Association of Devotees. And so then, now, you go out and about, when you're not in class and not in kirtan, and if the exchanges are, I don't mean you, I just, any one of us, if the exchanges are just on the social level, it's nice, but it's not the essence of what a loving relationship is. Those things are practical, they are part of what a loving relationship is, but what's the deeper part? It's, how much bhakti we're carrying in our heart, and how much are we seeing the person as a spirit soul, and appreciating the bhakti that they're carrying in their heart, and how did that bhakti come there from that awakening of the bhakti through hearing and chanting? I've probably heard well over 100 times in Prabhupada's lectures, something that he noted in the course of Ramayana and referred to it again and again, that when Dasarath was visited by Vishvamitra, the exchange between the two, the first thing that was said between the two is, how is your progress towards achieving spiritual perfection? There's some phrase that he uses. And that's a loving relationship. There are other things that we also say conventionally. How's your child? How's how's your husband's job? How's your health? And those things, they can be conventional, and that's all that it is, and it remains superficial. But how's your bhajan? How is your chanting going? Not just, with a sincere interest in that which is, using Jai Jagannath's phrase, the invisible part. How's your bhakti? However that comes out, that interest of that, that's the essence of a loving relationship, and what we can do in exchanges with one another to enhance and strengthen our loving relationships, which is what we're doing here. Whether someone is clear and focused and tuned into it, or something less than that, that's right using the phrase here from this translation. Viviktadrik, possessing clear vision and understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His Paramatma feature is situated everywhere. So that's the Viviktadrik. But then there's this other expression, Viviktadrik means without envy. Because you don't see that if you're envious. So if we want to have a loving relationship, go down the path, take steps and keep moving on that path, and go to the essence, not just... So when you're doing the essence of the outreach and the essence of the what you do with your friends, when you get together, do that which is the essence, that which awakens the essence, that which destroys the envy. And the result of that is a loving relationship. And that's the hearing and chanting. Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Is that alright? How do I do it practically? Well, just, you consider the message and think of the different persons, and you do that. To your capacity. You hear and chant together and discuss the topics, including, loving relationships, explicitly. But then it's not just my appeal, is don't let it just be the emotion or the sentiment, but the essence. The relationship with Krishna part. How is your relationship with Krishna doing? In one way or another. Expressing like that, sharing with one another. And then there's other relationships, but those other relationships are in relationship to our relationship with Krishna. And see like that. Cultivate like that. Then you'll have real loving relationships, really satisfying loving relationships. That's on the spiritual platform. I'm looking at the clock and it says 9:15. I'm going to end abruptly. We'll get you later. I'll meet you later now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.